what's going on, everybody? Jim here from Drink a Beer and Play a Game. Welcome to another episode of the Power Hour Podcast, episode 257. Thank you for joining us tonight. I guess I shouldn't say us, I should say me, because Brian is unfortunately not here tonight. So, long story short, his mom is in the hospital. She had pneumonia, she's sick, but she's in the hospital and they're pumping her full of antibiotics, so we're hoping for a very speedy recovery there. She is a very stubborn and headstrong woman, but she's also like a super sweet woman who always treated Brian's friends like basically like her own kids. So I've known her for as long as I've known Brian. I can't hope but the best for her and hope for a speedy recovery. But yeah, so hopefully he will be back next week. Hopefully everything goes well and we can be back to normal. But speaking of also, thank you and back to joining us. Big shout out to Adam the Square Painter for joining us last week. I had a great time talking to him. He is a hell of a nice dude. Honestly, he is the kind of guy that when you meet him and hang out with him in person, he's the same person that you heard on the show last week. Awesome guy. Definitely go make sure to check out all the links in that episode. Watch that episode too. Could use a little more love. But definitely make sure to check it out here. The origins of Rex Viper and him working the convention circuit and the news of the day. All that good stuff. And also, if you are new to the show and this is your first time seeing it, please make sure to check us out on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube. Give us subscriptions. Give us some reviews. Anything you can do will definitely help out the page. If you're the type who are very much into Discord and hanging out with groups there, please check out the link below. It's an open invite. Anyone can join. I'll talk about it a little more at the end of the episode because this is my second time doing this intro. I talked about it the first time through. I'm using some new equipment, as you can see with this current setup I have going on. I'm using my camcorder for the camera instead of my normal webcam. I found a set of kind of cheap condenser cardioid mics at a thrift store. So they are the, what the hell are these called again? Yes, the Lix Pros. These come with like a couple different modules on them. I'm no sound guy, so I'm just using the ones that were on there. I think those are called the super cardioids. I can hear Carl from WATP screaming at me right now to stop talking about boring crap that no one cares about. But I went out and I bought a Focusrite 4th Gen Solo, which is the sound mixer that I'm going to be using. It's got two inputs, so I'm using the XLR out of that. And yeah, I'm giving this a shot. I want to improve the page, and really it comes down to I want to make the game room tour when I do it as good as possible, and I don't want to like carry a Yeti around with me and look like an asshole. I'm going to look like one anyway, but I'll at least look a little bit more professional than just doing that. So yeah, bit of an experimentation this week. What better time than to do it when I am by myself? And as I have already found out, yeah, good thing I go back and listen to everything all the way through when I do my edits, because that was some unusable audio. But yes, I am here now, and what am I drinking? Well, I was drinking some good old-fashioned Coors Lights. Crackle, crackle at the can, because, yeah, doing these podcasts on my own, podcasting, it's not the hardest thing in the world, but when you're used to having a co-host, you're used to taking breaks when you talk, and I don't have that luxury this week, but it's Old Faithful. I'm kind of using it more as a tool than an escape, well, or a refreshment. Escape's a terrible word to describe alcohol with. I'm sad now, but thing I'm not sad about is gaming, and I haven't been able to do a ton of it, but the little bit of gaming I did do, first and foremost, I got to dick around with the Delta emulator. So for those of you out there who don't know, a free Nintendo handheld emulator has released for iOS. It's free on the App Store, and it plays Game Boy all the way through DS, I believe. I dicked around with it a little bit. I played some Solar Striker on the original Game Boy, and a little bit of Advance Wars for the Game Boy Advance. And, unless a game is made specifically for cell phones, man, this emulator is rough to play right off a phone. I've seen a lot of people go out and, like, they're using their iPads with a third-party controller, and it's kind of like, at that point, if you're going to go through that much effort, you might as well just buy a Miu Mini or an Ambernic and just have all of it built in and easily, most of them come with a shitload of games anyway. So, I mean, this is cool. It's definitely cool to mess around with. I would only recommend doing like turn-based games on this thing because the tactile feel and the inputs is just awful. But that's more a thing of, I mean, I guess it is kind of the emulator, but it's definitely just gaming on an iPhone. It almost gives me a better appreciation for games that actually really work on mobile, because you have to make it designed for that. And I've played a lot of ones I like. But, you know, if you're out there and you want to dick around with an emulator at work or while you're taking a poop, I mean, it's free. What are you going to do? Download the ROMs to your phone, download the emulator, there you go. For actual games, though, I finished up my run of Toilet in Paradise. And that's going to be a full review. That was a Patreon review request, so there's not a lot here I can say. I can tell you that everyone online's like, oh, it should only take you an hour and a half to beat this game. Man, it took me 4 hours. So, yay. Lucky Jimmy. Jimmy is bad at games. So, I'm going to have a lot to say when that review comes around. So, that was a review request by Todd Howard Stan. And honestly, this show would not be going the way it is if it wasn't for the support of our patrons out there. Head on over to patreon.com/drinkabeerandplayagame, where for as little as $2 a month, you can ask a question that we will answer on each and every single one of these Power Hour podcasts. So first up will be from Todd Howard Sucks. If you could fight any celebrity, dead or alive, who would it be and why? In Minecraft, of course. Easy answer. Jesse Eisenberg. He is the king, in my mind, of punchable face. He is a guy that I just see and you just want to bop him. And he's got this kind of like smug attitude about him too. Like he kind of knows he's a dork who made it. He's like a film school dork. So he's got that little bit of attitude too, along with being just that face. I hate that face. And I've never watched a movie where I was like, I don't think he's a bad actor, but I've also never seen a movie and went, oh, thank God Jesse Eisenberg was in this. So I don't think there's anything lost if I was to do things to him with a baseball bat. In Minecraft, haha. Moving on to burn retinas. Would you rather do a 12-hour flight where you can't stand at all, or a 12-hour road trip where you had to stop at every rest stop to use the bathroom? Todd Howard Sucks follows that up with, I mean, that would also include every bar along the way as well. Harumph. This is a very easy answer for me. I hate flying. I despise flying. I have such a fear of flights. And depending on how rough a flight goes, I will be a sweaty, shaky, anxiety-riddled mess during the length of a flight. And actually coming into the Philly airport is a nightmare. Because for the most part, the flight path requires like a gigantic U-turn. And it's an older airport, so it must require like this huge U-turn to get the angle right and to go extra slow. So I feel like I'm going to be falling out of the air at any minute because the engine's revved down and that freaks me out. So yeah, I hate coming into that airport. It's the closest airport to where I live, so lucky me. And yeah, I would much rather just drive 12 hours. And the rest stop thing is not a problem for me because I pee a lot anyway with my little girl bladder. So I will probably be making many rest stops. It'll take a hell of a long time and it'll be annoying, but at least I won't be in the air. So I would basically do anything to avoid that. So yeah, would have loved to hear what Brian had to say about that. He's probably calling me a big old bitch right now, and he'd be right. But that wraps up the Patreon questions for this week. So once again, thank you to everyone out there for the Patreon, for the support, for all your questions. And check out all the tiers for anybody new for bonus segments, bonus videos, movie reviews, movie review requests, game review requests. There's all bunch of kinds of stuff over on our Patreon. And once again, if you are listening on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube, and you're new to the show, please subscribe everywhere you can, leave those reviews, leave those likes. Anything you can do can and will help the page. And as I go into this next hard cut, the background may look a little different, the lighting may be a little different, the quality of the audio may be a little different. I don't know, I am flying by the seat of my pants, but the new segment will be everything I recorded before, which turned out fine. So, see you there. All right, let's move on to the news of the week. So, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Apparently, it is not doing that well. Actually, it is underperforming commercially, according to Daniel Ahmad, who is the Director of Research and Insights at Nico Partners, who said the PS5 game has been faring worse than its predecessor following its release in February. According to him, it's selling about half of what Remake sold in the same time frame, and it looks like it'll have a weaker tail prior to any PS Plus-like release. So, for context, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, or no, Remake, sold on the PS4 after that it already sold about 100 million units, and it shipped about 3.5 million units in its first couple days. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has been sold on the PS5 shortly after it hit about 50 million units sold, and as of the time of this writing, it peaked at about 2.21 million daily active users, which includes demos. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like a direct comparison. I would definitely rather see some more, you know, actual sales data numbers, but just in terms of even people playing a free demo, that's not really a great outlook there. And this is coming to us from Video Game Chronicle, which has been a pretty decent news site in the past, so it makes sense. And this guy's probably onto something here. And honestly, it's not like a shock at all. One, it's, you know, being released on a system with half as many users out there, so that's always a tough fight. So even if you extrapolate that number out and basically, you know, double the numbers, I don't know what it is. I gotta see real sales numbers. But really, it comes down to you're taking one story, and it's a thing that people complain about from the very beginning, and you're taking one story and you are deliberately stretching it out, and you're milking it over three releases, and a lot of people don't like that. Now, I, as you all know who follow the page, and for anyone new, I don't really play a lot of RPGs. I don't like the genre in general that much. I don't hate it, but I really have to be in a mood to play an RPG. And I hear from everyone, they all who play Remake and Rebirth seem to really like it. But yeah, I'm never going to get around to it. Like, I never beat the original Final Fantasy VII. That didn't keep my attention, and that's a way shorter game. And it's also one of the most beloved games of all time. So, I don't know. I don't see myself exactly falling in love with this title. And honestly, I just have way more other things to play at this point. But it's almost like the Hobbit movies when they came out. One, it was after already you had Lord of the Rings, and Hobbit was a famously shorter story, so they had to put a lot of filler into it. And, I mean, it's the Lord of the Rings franchise, so it still did well. Like, really? Well, but it didn't do as good as Lord of the Rings. So, like, if you look at the lifetime gross of, say, the Hobbit movies that came out. Now, I just did a quick Google search. So, take these numbers with a grain of salt, but from one of the, you know, the generic answers Google can give you. Hobbit Unexpected Journey gave you 300-some million. Desolation of Smaug gave you 258. And Battle of the Five Armies gave you 255. So, I mean, they still did pretty damn well. They didn't make the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions like the Lord of the Rings movies did. I mean, these are hundreds of millions, but not as many hundreds of millions. Ha 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 ha. But, yeah, it's still, every release that came after it, you were seeing diminishing returns, less and less people coming back. Granted, it was still pretty much a core audience and it didn't fall off that much. But, you know, it's still, you're still testing people's patience and their money with this, especially in these, like, crazy inflation times. So, $70 video games asking your favorite game to be spread out this much. I don't know, man. I didn't like it when it was first announced, and hopefully people out there are enjoying their purchases. Purchases. Come on, Jimmy. Purchases. Hopefully they're getting their money's worth, but, I mean, I hear they really stretch these games out, so maybe you'll get, like, an hour of gameplay for every dollar you spend with these $70 friggin' releases. Gotta love all that bloat in these games. That definitely never takes away from anything. Ah, it's perfect. It's perfect. More bloat. More bullshit to do. So I know you can't really see it right now, but I am wearing my new California Republic t-shirt. Yeah, I've watched the first episode of the Fallout series, and it's pretty damn good. I was not expecting the first episode to be 70 friggin' minutes. So nearly a full-length movie in, well, I guess the 90s. But still, that is a long time for a first episode. But it did hook me, eventually. I've been watching X-Men 97. probably after I record this, as I edit, I will watch the latest episode that just came out today. I'm recording this on Wednesday the 24th because, again, schedules are all, you know, screwy this week with everything going on. But yeah, if you're not watching X-Men and you're not watching Fallout yet, I approve. I am not someone who watches a ton of TV, but these are turning into much-watched things for me. So yeah, if you want Jimmy's attention, just dangle a little nostalgia in front of his face. Speaking of nostalgia, this one comes to us from Click It? Collect? Oh, from Collect. The site is CLLCT, and I am stupid. So from collect.com, a rare find of vintage video games unearthed in Dallas. Looks like a treasure hunt. Heritage Auctions, those motherfuckers, will feature 166 titles bestowed the DFW collection pedigree. So long story short, I think we actually talked about this a couple weeks ago. Basically, a treasure trove of rare video games was found in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And Heritage was like, oh, ho, ho, ho. They went right down there. And they said, as we walked into his living room, I saw the games piled up on the kitchen table and arranged in several different boxes. I knew we were in for a special ride. The meeting lasted more than 4 hours, with the specialist at Heritage sorting through endless boxes of near-perfectly preserved vintage video games, the likes of which they had never seen in one place. And going through, they found nearly perfect sticker seal versions of Urban Champion, Metroid, Sega games, Master System. Just a crazy amount of stuff. Early prints of Legend of Zelda, Metroid and Contra, early Sega titles. And these are all around 90% are sealed, according to the auction house. Heritage, who is famously known for their $870,000 sale of an early production variant of Legend of Zelda in 2021, along with their $2 million scam of Super Mario 64. And I know a lot of podcasts don't want to be scammed or scared into saying it's not a scam, but it was definitely an insider trading scam. I don't care what you say. There is no way in hell anyone put in a legit bid for that. That is just straight fuckery. So how did Heritage find out about this? Well, earlier in March of this year, an eBay sale of a first production copy of 1986's Castlevania was sold for $90,100, believed to be the most expensive video game sale in the history of eBay. Though the game was sold raw, meaning that without third-party authentication, the collector community came to broad consensus over its legitimacy. Not only in its authentic seal, but also in its first-party hang tab, indicative of the first printing. So that was a holy grail for the guy who bought it. And an underbidder for the game said he was mostly focused on Zelda titles, and he would have bid up to $125,000 for this copy. So that's pretty crazy. And only 6 sealed ones with that classic hang tab are known to exist. So yeah, super rare item there for a extremely common game because you sealed collectors are sick bastards. So a copy of Kid Icarus sold a week later for about $82,000. Holy crap. So all these were popping up on eBay, and the source of the games had been traced back to an estate sale, with many speculating the sellers had acquired the games and listed them on eBay shortly thereafter, as one does. And yeah, I think this was the one where the guy put it up there and then he took it down because he didn't realize how rare of a game he had. Something like that. Yeah, that's what it was. This is the one that started at $500 and he quickly removed it after getting all these offers. And yeah, I'm just very, 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 very jealous of this. I actually had a moment of regret in collecting lately this past week. So, My Life in Gaming had put out a video about video game collections. You know, when you have a bunch of games on one disc or one cartridge. And one of them was the Capcom Digital Collection, which I never heard of before. And this was a collection of games that included, like, Bionic Commando Rearm 2, Street Fighter 2 HD Turbo Remix, Puzzle Fighter, 1943, one of them that was, like, an HDized version. So a bunch of games, like, I played the ever-living hell out of HD Turbo Remix Street Fighter 2 on back in the 360 days. My buddies and I would just get together, and after playing hours upon hours of Rock Band, we'd either boot up some MLB The Show or play some Street Fighter. Like, those are our games when we were just sit back, relax, fuck our responsibilities, just smoked weed all day and played video games. It was awesome. So I was like, oh, this is cool. So I checked it out on eBay, and they were going for like between 60 and 80 bucks, maybe a couple $100 for something still sealed. And I went, eh. Money was still a little tight at those points too for me that week because of all the traveling I'd done lately. So I went, I'll pass. I'll come back to this next week. Well, fuck me in the ass, because now the games go for $200 minimum. Used. Fuck, shit, damn it, ass, balls, cock. So yeah, I'm waiting that out. And a thing that went into that, I'm sure, besides being featured in my Life in Gaming video, is the fact that Xbox 360 finally announced that it's going to be stopping support soon in a couple months. And when that goes away, over 220 digital-only games are just going to poof into the ether. At the very least. Like, there's a ton of digital games on there, you know, small games. But there's a lot of them that have, like, just no licenses anywhere else. They're not available anywhere else. They're not available physically. And they're just going to go bye-byes. So, if you want to troll through that eShop and, you know, download as much as you can in the meantime, maybe Gerard can do more charity fraud and download all the games for that system. Or some other sick bastard can just splurge all their money for that. But, yeah, I mean, we're in that digital age of everything starting to go bye-bye. And credit to the... I'm almost sad they're ending it this year, and they couldn't have waited, like, one more year and gotten a full 20 years out of the 360 online. But, honestly, it's like, how many people were still playing that? It makes sense. It's kind of a miracle they kept it up as long as they did. But... yeah, I mean, it had to end sometime. So, you know, make sure you get out there. And if you, here's a lesson learned. If you have an impulse buy and it is a somewhat reasonable price and you can make it work, in this day and age, just goddamn do it. Because it could literally be like a day later and it can just shoot up in price and all go bye-bye. Like, I actually got lucky when I bought Sea of Stars with the unedited Gerard version. Right around the time when it was still selling for the price it would have sold for, like, new. And within, like, a week later, it was double the cost. So, that was my small win there. Maybe I should trade that in for Capcom. Or, nah, I'll keep the Controversy Collection. That's more fun. But yeah, back to the article. Screw WADA. I hate WADA. I hate what they do to collecting. I hate all the outsiders in here. You know, it is what it is. We kind of hate the gatekeepers of collecting online, but yeah, they kind of have a point, in some instances, because there's no reason the collecting market should be what it is right now, but them's the breaks. Is that a funny topic? I don't know if that's a funny topic, but you know what is going to be funny? Golden Axe. When I think comedy, when I think the height of ha-has, I think of Sega's classic seminal series, Golden Axe. But yeah, this story was shared all around, and this is coming from Variety, and apparently Golden Axe animated series from Mike Mahan, set at Comedy Central, Matthew Rhys and Danny Pudi are among the voice cast. I'm not a guy who knows anything about like most, like 99% of voice actors. I'm sure there's people out there right now going, oh, cool. I'm not one of those people. But yeah, Mike McMahon and Joe Chandler are basing it on the classic Sega series, along with Matthew Rhys, who did The Americans, Perry Mason, Danny Pudi, who wrote on Community, Mythic Quest, Lisa Gilroy, who wrote on Jury Duty, and Liam, whatever, just a whole bunch of these fucking people. I don't need to list every single person here. But Comedy Central has ordered 10 episodes, and the official description of the series is that it follows veteran warriors Axe Battler, Tyrus Flair, and Gilius Thunderhead as they once again battle to save Yuria from the evil giant Death Adder, who just won't seem to stay dead. Fortunately, this time they have the inexperienced and underprepared Hampton Squibb on their side. So yeah, this just comes after Variety reported that Star Trek Lower Decks will be ending in its fifth season, which I have heard is actually pretty good. I haven't watched any of it yet. I don't have Paramount Plus, so I haven't been keeping up with Star Trek, like, at all. I haven't seen any Picard, I haven't seen any of Discovery, I haven't seen any of Lower Decks, I haven't seen any Brave New World. So, yeah, I'm a bad Star Wars, or Star Wars, fuck Star Wars. I'm a bad Star Trek fan, but I just don't want to pay for another streaming platform. I guess I could steal it, but I'm also extremely lazy. And I've heard a lot of them are very quality. Like, I watched season 3 of Picard. That's the only one I'm interested in. But then it goes on to say, so Mick Mahan was also known for his time as a writer for an executive producer on Rick and Morty and the co-creator of Solar Opposites on Hulu. I've never heard of that. Chandler worked on American Dad and previously wrote for shows like the Napoleon Dynamite animated series. I did not know there's a Napoleon Dynamite animated series. This is the first I'm hearing of that, so that is probably a bad sign. Once again, I will always have a grudge against that movie for ruining my life in high school. Having the name of Napoleon was a friggin' curse. Beer break. So yeah, thoughts on a Golden Axe comedy cartoon on Netflix. I mean, if anything's written well enough, it can work. This is the most bizarre kind of thing that I've heard of this in a long time. But you know what? Here, you know, old positive Jimmy. Jimmy's putting on his positivity hat for this. I will give it the benefit of the doubt for one reason. Maybe we'll get lucky and we'll kind of have a resurgence of what we had with early Adult Swim. Because if you told me you're going to take Harvey Birdman and C-Lab 2020 and Space Ghost even earlier than that, and you're going to make comedy series out of all of them, I would have said you're freaking crazy. But, you know, those guys at Turner Street or whatever, William Street, that's what it was. The people at William Street, they just knocked it out of the park, obviously. So it's an idea that could work. And if it's got people behind it that have written some funny stuff before, I would love to know what seasons of Rick and Morty this guy worked on, because that show takes a nosedive. But, you know, there's still some kind of pedigree there. American Dad's a solid show. So, I don't know. I am going to be cautiously optimistic here. And I'll check it out. I have kind of a love-hate relationship with Golden Axe. In the fact that I always kind of like him and kind of don't like him. So, yeah. I'm not going to consider this like anything I'm excited for. But if, you know, you think back to those days of early Adult Swim, it's been done. So let's see if it can happen again. All right, we're going to wrap up this week's episode with a pretty recent story. It came out, I think, this past Monday, where the latest Sony patent wants to take the grind out of games by playing them for you. So Sony loves filing patents for game ideas that'll more than likely never come to fruition. They did it again with a recent listing that focuses on the idea of auto-playing portions of a video game. So, essentially, it means that the game would take over the player and use AI to basically mimic your playstyle to play for you through sections that you might not want to play through. Case in point, like games where you have to grind a lot. A lot of people out there hate grinding. It kind of takes them completely out of the game, and it could mimic your stuff and do it for you. And apparently, like, obviously, I haven't played an MMO since City of Villains, and I only played that for a short time. So, apparently, numerous MMORPG titles on the PC and mobile utilize some form of autoplay. And, so it's not like a thing that isn't not happening at this point. It's just a thing you don't see that often in video games. Console-based ones, for the most part. And, I mean, the comments sections kind of say it the best. Why, if you have a game that you're going to let the computer play you for... That was terrible wording, Jimmy. So if you have a game that you're going to let the computer do most of the work for you, what's the point in even buying the friggin' game? And I have to agree with that. Like, that's a reason I don't play these long-ass games, is because there's so much bloat in there that I don't want to deal with it. Did I just make a good case for something like this? Like, specifically for a player like me who won't want to do the grinding. I'll just want to go through everything else, sit through the story, I guess, and then fight the final boss. Like, that doesn't sound very fulfilling, but it sure as shit will cut down on a lot of time, even though story is the thing I care about the least in video games. So maybe if you... Ooh. What if the AI can be programmed to just skip every single line of dialogue? And then I can see if the game... Well, obviously I'll miss so many story hints and clues and have no emotional investment in it, so there's always that problem. I don't know, man. It seems weird. I guess some people, I think the accessibility people out there will maybe champion something like this, but for the most part, it's like, why play the game if it's going to play the game for you? Like we said. And I think there's no better argument against it than that. So most likely this will probably be one of those things that Sony just doesn't do anything with. And I think the last thing we need right now is AI learning more about our patterns. I'm not one of these like Terminator doomers out there because, I mean, you would have to like recreate actual the way humans can make cognitive thought, which we don't know how it works. So how the hell is a computer going to figure out how it works? But still, I think the less we let our tech overlords know about us, the better, even though that's kind of a pipe dream and we gave up all those rights years, decades ago. We're screwed. Everyone's screwed. It's all over. We're all done. Doesn't matter. None of this matters. Just play your stupid game and don't let the game play it for you. There we go. Wraps it up. Wraps up that story. Wraps up this episode. So, again, with all hope, you know, Brian's mom feels better and she's back next week. And hopefully you enjoyed this shorter episode of the Power Hour podcast. So once again, if you are new to the show, check out the links below. Oh, check out the Discord. I would love to grow the Discord community a little more. It's a fairly active Discord. It's more active than I ever expected it to be. And it's one of those like chill ones. Not a lot of arguing in there. There's like, yeah, everyone seems to listen to each other when it comes to disagreements on things. It's kind of a group of people who's like, in a lot of way, me, where we just kind of want to escape. And we don't want to take anything too damn seriously. So that sounds up your alley. Check the links below. Discord always has the open invite for our servers. So, you know, just be cool. Don't be racist. That's basically, don't be racist and don't be a pedo. I think those are two very easy things to ask for from anybody joining an online community. For the love of God, I don't want to be responsible for that shit. So, yeah, just don't do those two things, and you're all welcome. And speaking of being welcome, please, you know, welcome to the show for anyone new. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. And until next time, guys, we'll be back next week, hopefully as normal. Hopefully this new tech experiment I did worked out somewhat well. And we'll see you next week, everybody. Cheers.